Canada is promising to cut down on pollution to help combat global warming, but it also wants to ramp up its oil production and to ship more of it overseas. It's an awkward balancing act by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. We heard about that on the show yesterday. If you missed that story, you can check it out at PRI.org. But wait, before you listen to that, we're going to hear about one part of that plan to export more oil from Canada and how opposition to it is starting to spill over into the U.S. Here's reporter Eilish O'Neill from station KUOW in Seattle.
The Westridge Oil Terminal overlooks a finger of water that separates Vancouver from the deep green hills of the nearby provincial parks. It's where oil tankers come to fill up, at the terminus of the Trans Mountain Pipeline.
The pipeline is actually coming down through the trees on the other side of the tank there and comes straight out onto the dock.
Mike Davis is the Director of Marine Affairs for Kinder Morgan. That's the company that owns the pipeline, which has been carrying oil here from the tar sands of Alberta for decades.
It's the Honda Civic of marine loading facilities. This is a very small facility.
Only about 60 tankers a year call at the terminal, but that could change soon. Kinder Morgan wants to build a second, much bigger pipeline here from Alberta. When it's done, tanker traffic would shoot up to about 400 a year, bound for California and Asia. Davis says that would relieve a big oil bottleneck.
Canada has the third largest reserves of petroleum in the world, and we currently today only have the ability to trade with one other country, which is the United States. And it's just good for Canada to be able to reach other markets.
Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau thinks so too. Trudeau's pledged big cuts in carbon pollution under the Paris Agreement to fight climate change. But he says building new pipelines would create jobs without busting Canada's carbon budget. But many people take issue with Trudeau's math and with his philosophy.
If you are planning to build two major pipelines from the dirtiest oil in the world, with nearly 2 million barrels of oil flying out of that place per day, you are not within the Paris climate agreements.
Paul Che Oakden-Wagner is a member of the Saanich Nation of British Columbia, whose homeland the new pipeline would pass through. Wagner lives in Seattle. He says he didn't actually pay much attention to the pipeline plan back in BC until some friends invited him to go with them to Standing Rock, North Dakota, last year. That's where other Native Americans were protesting another oil pipeline. He says he came back a changed man.
Coming home from Standing Rock was one of the biggest challenges I've ever had in my life. But they're all doing it for the protection of water, protection of their traditions, and for those future generations.
From Standing Rock to BC, make the land pipeline free!
After he got home, Wagner helped lead a four-day march along the waterway south of Vancouver that all those new oil tankers would ply. The protesters were marching in support of lawsuits against the new pipeline, and they were joined by about a dozen people from the U.S. side of the border, who were motivated by concern for Indigenous rights, climate change, and their own backyard.
We're looking out the window to the town of Victoria.
That's Victoria, B.C., in Canada. But Deborah Giles is standing in her office on San Juan Island, which is in Washington State. Giles works at the Center for Whale Research. She's worried about all those new tankers sailing through the narrow waterways shared by Washington, British Columbia, and pods of endangered orcas.
Noise is one thing.
Giles says ship noise can interfere with orcas' ability to find food and communicate. But she's also got a bigger worry.
The potential for oil spill is astronomically more scary. Because, yes, there's this crazy random border, but if oil gets spilled in Canada, it's not going to end at that imaginary border. It's going to decimate this entire ecosystem.
The marine ecosystem here stretches from Vancouver Island in Canada down to Seattle and Puget Sound in the U.S. and out to the Pacific. It's home to millions of people and invaluable marine resources. But Mike Davis of Kinder Morgan says the risks of an oil spill are exaggerated.
We've never had a release from a tanker loading in the 60-year-plus history of the operations here.
Of course, with a more than six-fold increase in traffic, the risk is considerably greater than it's been in the past. But Davis says Kinder Morgan's helping beef up spill response systems on the Canadian side of the border. Despite the possible impacts in the U.S., people like Deborah Giles don't have much say in whether or not the pipeline gets built. But BC's First Nations could influence the outcome, because the pipeline would pass through some of their traditional territories, including the home of Paul Che Oakden-Wagner's Saanich Nation. And Wagner says they'll fight it.
They cannot trespass upon their land without those First Peoples saying, yes, you can do that. And so You know, over 100 tribes have signed saying no pipelines will cross our borders.
First Nation legal challenges are working their way through Canada's courts, but even if they fail, Wagner says he's not giving up. He's ready to launch a Standing Rock-style protest in Canada. For The World, Alicia Neal, Seattle.